If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. We are thankful again to be here. I'm going to just say this. I'm so glad y'all like to sing. That is so encouraging to get come into a place and hear good singing and be part of it. Not just singing, but worshiping the Lord with all of our heart. I'm glad to do that. Certainly appreciate it. Matthew 15, verse 21. Matthew 15:21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I want you to say something about that passage of Scripture. That's one of the most amazing passages of Scripture that you're ever going to read. It is rich, and a lot of it is beyond my comprehension. But there's a lot of things that we can look at and see in this. First of all, Jesus, when he came into this world, he came first to his own, to the Jewish nation. That was to fulfill the Old Testament. We know that Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. God gave a law and he gave it to us and it's perfect in every way. And there's only one that could meet those requirements. Jesus did just that. And in doing that, he had to go to his people first. In order to fulfill the law, he had to go to the Jews first and the Jews had to reject him. You recall, he stood on a hill and he looked out over Jerusalem and he said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, as he wept about it. He said, How often would I have gathered you as a hen would gather her chicks, but you would not. Then he goes on to say that your house is left unto you desolate. Even Paul, he went to the Jews. It was his practice, Brother Joey, to go to the Jews first. And after they rejected, there's one time he said, Henceforth I go to the Gentiles. In other words, we have done what we can do. You have been blinded in part, and so now we're turning to the Gentiles. And thank the Lord for that, because that's what I am, a Gentile. Not a Jew, I'm a Gentile. Anybody that's not born of the Jewish race, they are Gentiles. And so really that's the two races that you have in the world, Jews and Gentiles. But as he would say these things to her, we also got to understand Jesus understands the heart. And he knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. And he knew what the people in that crowd was thinking. And he knew what this woman was thinking. And so when he spoke to her this way, he was doing it to try to provoke those around him to jealousy. That he was showing them that, look, you need to have a faith and understand just what you are, the way that this woman understands just what she is. And every one of us, we're just wretched sinners without Christ. And that's all the Lord was doing here. We use the dog maybe in a different term than what they did. You remember Mephibosheth made a statement about himself. He said to David, he said, Why would you look upon such a dead dog as I am? That was a pretty common term at that time. But what makes this so amazing is the fact Jesus said, Great is thy faith. Think about that just a minute. What a proclamation by the Lord. Great is thy faith. And I wonder, as I read that, Brother Ryan, I wonder if that just absolutely floored his disciples, just blew their mind. Because how many times did he turn to his disciples and say, Oh, ye of little faith. We're talking about men that walked by his side. They saw the miracles he did. And every time they turned around, they were doubting the Lord. He would ask them, how is it that you doubt? Why do you doubt like you do? He made a statement to his disciples. He said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Brother Jake, he said, if y'all just had a little bit of faith, just a little bit of faith, you would see great things like you've never seen before. If you would just trust me, if you just have a little bit of faith. And so he turns to this woman and he says, great is thy faith. How refreshing that is. You know, I can just see how pleased Jesus is with that. That she has such a great faith. And so tonight I want to ask us a question. This is a very simple thought. What is it about this woman that made her faith so potent? I mean, great is thy faith. What made it so great? Well, you know, let's pick it apart just a minute. First of all, her request was effectual. You know, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, as you said, well, she wasn't praying. Well, she was speaking to the Lord, and that's what we do when we pray. So it's really about the same thing. And so she comes, and it was effectual, meaning it was successful. You know, when we pray, we want that prayer to be successful. We want the Lord to bless. And so she this prayer is effectual. These words she's speaking in is effectual. And she's fervent. There's no doubt about that. What does fervent mean? It means showing an intense passion. She's very, very passionate about how she's speaking to the Lord. And she's very intense in that. And we look, she went to the right man. There's no doubt about that. All good things come from the Lord. So anything good that happens to us, it comes from the Lord. And that's where she goes to the source that can help her. So how is it that her faith is so strong? Her faith was so great because she proved that she completely relied upon the Lord. And I know that sounds very simple, and yet really it's very complex. It means the difference between a prayer being answered and it not. Lord said if we can't ask in faith, we shouldn't expect to receive anything of Him. According to the book of James, we read that in the book of James. So when we ask, we have to ask in faith. And she comes to Him and she asks in faith. She is completely depending upon the mercy of the Lord. And as she goes to Him, there's no good in her. And He even makes a statement. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. She was not offended by that. She understood, look, I'm just a wretched sinner. All I need, I need you to help me. I need mercy. And so she understands there's no good in her. There's no reason she deserves mercy. You know, a lot of times that hinders us. We feel like we deserve something because we've been good. Lord, I've been really faithful this week. I deserve for you to come through for me. We don't deserve anything. And so it wasn't about what she deserved. And it wasn't about whether she was good or not. It wasn't about what everybody else thought about her. And it wasn't about what type of person she was. It was about complete dependency upon the mercies of the Lord. So, and as she looked at Him, Brother Freddie, she looks and, Lord, I accept the crumbs that fall from the table. In other words, Lord, I am trusting You to do what You think is right. And I'll accept that. Whatever You decide that You're willing to give me, I'm going to accept that as being good enough. I'm going to accept that as being what's right. You know, when I think about that, so many times my faith is so fragile. And I wonder, why is it that knowing what I know and seeing what I've seen and watching God bless my life so many times, why do I find myself with such a fragile little faith? And the answer, I believe we can find it right here. At least for me, the answer is many times I'm looking at myself. And have I been good enough that God would be willing to bless me? Or have I messed up so much that He's probably not going to pay me any attention today? And many times the Lord may direct me to do something or, you know, lay a burden on my heart, we would say. And I'll look, so I'm not, I don't have that ability. I can't do that. God, you, look, I know maybe I feel burdened with it, but I'm just not capable of doing this. Other people can do that. I can't do that. And so my focus is not on the Lord, it's on me, what I'm capable of. This woman, she didn't even look at herself. If she'd have done that, I believe she'd have hung her head. She'd have walked away. If she'd have looked at who she was and what she deserved, she probably would have just said, yep, you're right, and turned around and walked off. Or she might have got her feelings hurt. If she's looking at herself, she might have tried to defend what she is. And I tell you what, I'm better than some of these people walking around with you. She didn't do any of that. You see, tonight, faith is faith when our attention is solely upon Christ. Give you an example I know we're all familiar with. Peter, Bible said Peter walked on water. So many people say, well, Jesus is the only one that can walk on water. Well, Peter did. He did. And whenever I consider that, Peter, I said, my goodness, the faith that he had to get down off of the boat, off of the ship, onto a raging sea. And he steps out and it's solid. And he's walking on it. And he's walking toward the Lord. I don't know if he took one step or 10 steps or if he got a, you know, well across the ocean before he began to sink. But I look at that and I say, that was a man at that moment had a great faith in God. Nobody else got off the boat. He did. And so, well, what caused that? Well, when he saw the Lord, he said, if it's you, bid me come unto thee. And the Lord said, come on. And he was obedient to the Lord. He, listen, the Lord said I can do it, I can do it. If he said I can, I can. I'm going to just go for it. And he jumps out, boom. He hit, whoa, this is solid. He starts walking toward the Lord. His eyes are on Christ. They're not on himself. But all of a sudden, he takes his eyes off of the Lord and he looks at the waves. And he sees all the things going on around him. And wait a minute, now this is Peter here. And this is not possible. What I'm doing is not possible. All things are possible through Christ. But this is not possible because I'm Peter and I'm walking on water. And these waves are big and he starts sinking. And all of a sudden, his faith got real small real quick. Child of God, I want to encourage us tonight, men and women, I want to encourage us to be men and women of great faith. And you say, well, preacher, that we want to hear something besides faith. And you know, seem like that's all you know how to preach, is to have faith in the Lord. But if we could just get that message, if we could really, and I'm not talking about just flirting around with that message, I'm talking about become really and truly men and women of great faith, it would change our entire lives. If we could live our lives and keep our eyes on Christ and stop looking around at everything else and stop considering who we are, and just consider who He is. You know, I thought about how that the Bible said that in the Old Testament we read of how that the children of Israel for a time they followed the Ark of the Covenant. And they had some Ark of the Covenant in a certain carriage type thing, some poles on the end. And the priests, they were to carry the poles, they were to carry the Ark of the Covenant out in front of the children of Israel. And the Bible just tells us, it seemed like a random fact, Brother Joy, that the ark had to be 2,000 cubits ahead of the children of Israel. If I understand that right, that's somewhere around a quarter of a mile. So it had to stay a quarter of a mile out in front of them at all times. I wonder, why is that? Why did it have to be that far out in front? And I know we can look and say, well, it's because the ark was holy and they didn't need to be very close to it. And there's that one time where they put the ark in a carriage, a buggy, and the oxen stumbled. And the ark began to tilt over, and Uzzah's walking beside it, and he reaches up and touches it, and he falls down dead because it's holy. Y'all remember that? So we know that this, you can say, well, because the ark is holy ground and they didn't need to be that close, but I believe it's more than that. I believe it was out in front of them at that distance, that way the whole congregation could keep their eyes on it. You see, if they put it right up at the very front of the crowd, the only people who could see it would be the people right on the front row. And the people behind them, all they could see is the person standing in front of them. And so they would be following somebody. But as long as it's out in front of them a quarter of a mile, they could look up and see that thing and keep their eyes on the Lord, or at least the ark that represented the Lord. And so if we could just learn to do that, keep our eyes on Him. While we're there, is there anybody here you know that you're lost? I want you to think about it just a minute, that you're lost. I want you to understand how easy it would be to trust the Lord if you could just get your eyes off of yourself, or get your eyes off of others, get your eyes off of the waves, all the things going on, and just solely look at the Lord. One of the things about being lost, and I've talked to many that have struggled with being lost for some time, and one of the things about being lost is looking at ourselves. Well, you have to understand, whenever you're lost, you see yourself as what you are, which is a sinner. That's where turning, that's where repentance comes in. We have to get our eyes off of us, because you'll never get saved looking at you. You have to get your eyes off of you, so you turn your eyes from you and turn your eyes to the Lord and put your faith in Him. Whenever you put your faith in Him, He'll save you. But the thing is, we look at ourselves being lost, and we start thinking about maybe how good we are, or we think about how bad we are, or we think about the things going on in our life, or we think about we was baptized at some point and that should count for something, or we think about where we go to church, or what our last name is, or the list goes on and on. Well, at least I feel like I'm as good as some of these other people. I don't have anything to do with salvation. But if you could solely look to the Lord, get your eyes off of you, turn from being a sinner, and see Christ. The publican went up into the house of God to pray. Bible said he would not even so much as lift his eyes toward heaven. In other words, he kept his head bowed. He smote on his breast and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, when he did that, he wasn't looking at himself. He understood he was a sinner, but he's looking to the Lord for mercy. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And so he takes his eyes off of what he is and who he is, and he puts his eyes on the Lord, and I need mercy from you. And so he wasn't looking at what he had earned, and he wasn't looking at how good or how bad he was. He wasn't looking at trying to convince God that he deserved mercy. Now, the Bible says that also the Pharisee went up to the house to pray, and he went to God and he told God how good he was. Lord, I fast twice in a week, and I give a tenth of all that I possess, and you know, I don't do things like everybody. I'm certainly not like this old publican over here. What's he doing? He's trying to convince God he deserves something. The publican knows he don't deserve anything. He just looked to the Lord and he trusted him for mercy. And that's what he got. The Bible said he went up justified. Went to his house justified. If we got what we deserve, Brother Mike, If we got what we had earned, Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's what we would all have earned, death. But God gave us a gift. Grace is unmerited favor. We cannot earn it. It has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with whether you're worthy or not. It has everything to do with who God is. God is merciful because that's who He is. God shed His grace upon us because that's who He is, not because who we are. So I want to encourage you tonight to put your eyes on the Savior. Get it off yourself. Put your eyes on Him. And believe in your heart that Jesus is your personal Savior. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. While Christ is offering you the gift of salvation, I want to tell you something about it. There may be 10 things on your mind racing around, trying to distract you. The devil's good at that. See, Peter walked on water, but he was being distracted by all the things going on around him, by the waves, the crashing waves going on. So he fell because of that. While you're sitting there thinking about trusting the Lord, there may be a lot of things go through your mind. You know, how good you are, whether or not you've been baptized, or just a whole list of things may be going through your mind. But I'm trying to encourage you tonight to get your mind, get your eyes off of you, get your eyes off of everybody else, get your eyes off of everything except Christ. Look to Him. If you look to Him, He'll save you. You may say, but this, but that, I've been good, I've been bad, I've been baptized, you know, already. What will everybody think? Maybe I've been baptized 2 or 3 times. What would everybody think if I come and said I was lost? Oh, may say I'm too old or I'm too young. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. Jesus saves those that trust Him with all their heart. If you'll do that, He will save you. We'll ask for something.